to let my son stand behind the pulpit here today. These young people in the church that are coming up. I said in the first service, Thursday night, Dan Huntington spoke one of the greatest messages that we have heard in this church. I'm telling you, Danny. Where are you, Danny? Where is he? Oh, he's serving. He talked about serving. I mean, he did so good. You need to listen to it. It applies to everybody, business people, right down to whoever. He talked about serving. You're going to hear a little bit more about that today. You can listen to any one of the messages online at thecitychurch.com at any time. But I'm excited to release my son to you today. I don't take Sundays off. I've had pastors tell me, oh, you need to take Sundays off. And I have a word for that. It's probably not appropriate to use right now, though. This isn't work to me. This is calling to me. So I don't give this up. I have people ask me every week, I want to come and preach. I don't want you to come and preach. I'm not looking for another preacher, but I'm thankful for these young men and women. We're a church that believes in women. I believe in them. I stand with them. I'm for women's rights. You. Yeah. I'd like this amen corner over here. Y'all could learn something from these people. But today, my son Ryan is going to share the word with you. I want you to give him the best City Church welcome you could ever give. Come on. Come on, Ryan. Come on up here.
Would that make you nervous? Made me a little nervous. Well, I'm grateful. I'm grateful this morning for this place, for this community, not only for the pastors and the leaders and the leadership in this house, but the community of people that support each other daily and weekly. I can't tell you the amount of people that I just view as brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and fathers and mothers in this place. And I know you feel the same way, but I'm just so grateful for that in this place. I'm thankful for my parents. My dad said it in the first service. I'm not sure if he said it this service, but this Easter is a 20-year celebration of ministry for this house. And I just think that's wonderful. Would you give them a hand this morning? I want to read to you this morning out of God's Word. I want to start in 1 Samuel 17. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to start at verse 47. And this is a very familiar passage. I'm sure that most of you know it. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you it into your hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. And David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in the head, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of his shield, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. I think if you've been in church for any time, I think if you went to jam or you went to big kids at some point in your life, that you heard this story, and it's a very familiar passage. I've heard hundreds of messages. I've heard this story shared hundreds of times in services, that David came and faced Goliath, came to him with a sling and a stone, but he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. A very familiar passage, and I've had some time to reflect of late, And I begin to read back through some of these familiar Bible stories. And I noticed something in the scripture this morning that I feel is so relevant to this place at this season. And I want to read it to you. I'm going to go back actually to chapter 17 at about verse 13. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these three sons went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and third, Shimon. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captains of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back the news of them." The amazing part about this story, the part that struck me about this story, this amazing story of David and Goliath. The great story of this miracle where David was so underestimated and he came and he won and he triumphed. The great miracle that happened with the sling and the stone. What struck me about it is David never went to fight. David never went to the battlefield to fight. David, the scripture that I just read, said he took an ephah, a basket, a lunch to his brothers to serve them. The miracle was in the basket. It was never in the sling, and it was never in the stone. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, reveal to us your will. Reveal to us your heart. Reveal to us, Father, what you have for us. We give you this time. We give you this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I've heard this story talked about many times, as I say. My question to you this morning, my father's been on a topic. Can you give up to go up? And I think it could be asked like this. Can you humble yourself enough to let God use you? Can God trust you enough to use you? Can you go down so you can go up? This story of David and Goliath is the ultimate story of giving something up. Giving up on yourself to go up. It's so contrary to what culture is teaching today. Everything is, what can I get? What can I take? What can I pursue? What is mine? What do I have? What is in my hand? And this story teaches us the exact opposite. It's not about being the boss. It's not about no orders. It's not about shortcuts. It's not about the bag of smooth stones. It's not about the slingshot. The gift is found in the ephah, in the service of serving one another. We have a society where everyone wants to lead. Nobody wants to serve. Everyone wants to teach, but no one wants to be taught. Everyone wants to be in control, but no one wants to submit. We need a fresh generation of people that want to serve, that is teachable, that looks for mentors, that looks for teachers. We need a generation that lives to serve. This story in 1 Samuel, I've always thought about this. What is the relationship between our actions and a miracle? We ask for miracles. We come in to church and we say, I pray that, God, you would move in a mighty way. I pray that you would perform a miracle. I pray that you would intercede on my behalf. But what is the relationship in Scripture between the works of the Holy Spirit, the miracle that God brings, and our actions? And I propose to you this morning, for just a few minutes, that if we're looking for miracles, if we're looking for open doors, if we're looking for God to perform something that we can't do on our own in our own lives, it comes through an act of service. If we look closer at this story, David was never sent to the battlefield to fight. In fact, his father came to him and said, "Take your brother's lunch." He looked at him like he was unqualified. He looked at him like he wasn't, he wasn't to be used to fight. He said, "David, go get your brothers a lunch." God thought different. Have you ever had people underestimate who you are? He knew that David, his heart was to serve. He knew that David's heart was to follow after what his father had asked of him. You can read any story in Scripture. I could take you through five stories in Scriptures. The Word of God shows us we cannot go up until we serve. We can't go directly to the sling and the stone. David brings the lunch to the bigger guy. David comes to serve someone else. And in the process of serving someone else, he discovers who he is. By helping someone else with who they are, he discovers who he is. David's destiny, his miracle, his placement in the body of Christ could never be revealed until he served someone who he saw as greater than himself. Have you served someone lately that you see as greater than yourself? Have you, or do you have the thought process that I'm better than everyone? That's a striking question. That's something that we have to look at ourselves daily. Do we see the world? Do we see people? Do we see the people we come in contact with? Do we see everyone as lower than we are? Or are there people that we connect with that we say, I have something to gain from that person? Through serving, through the miracle of serving, things are revealed. Can I get one amen? Our culture has lost the art of serving. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. We want to be important. But when God is going to use you in deep measure, you're going to serve first. I'm talking about David, but I'm using David as a launching pad to just touch on the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus is the shift that would change the next 2,000 years. Think about these holy days coming up. Don't get distracted. Think about these holy days coming up. Think about this resurrection month. Think about these days leading up to it. Jesus comes. He's born in a manger. He's born in swaddling clothes. He's born in a low place. He comes humbly. He doesn't come on a white horse with 10,000 angels in front and 10,000 angels behind, but he comes. He humbles himself. He's born in a low place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Philippians 2:7, the scripture says, "But he made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." He did. And he was made in the likeness of man by choice. The decision was made before he came to earth. And I love this. I love the thought process of who God is. He planned this out before he came. I'm not deciding to come as a king. I'm not coming as a captain. I'm not coming as a boss, as a priest, as a pastor. I'm not coming as an elder. I'm not coming as the head usher or the worship leader. I'm not coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But I will come by my own choice, by my own accord. I will come as a lamb, who being in the form of God, thought it robbery to be equal with God. But he made of himself no reputation. Jesus himself humbled himself. Remember when we were talking about David, he was tasked to bring his brother's lunch. I forgot to say that David was his brother's king. He just didn't know it yet. He humbled himself. The reason it's so hard in our culture is because we're being groomed to be important, teaching our kids that service is wrong. Meet an arrogant parent, and I'll show you an arrogant child. Meet a selfish parent, and I'll show you a selfish child. And in the process of teaching arrogance and entitlement, the children get older and become incompetent. God forbid that we be seen as a servant, is the mentality that's taught. We have to get back to serving in the house of God. The Bible says, if you humble yourself, in due season, I will exalt you. Look at your life. Look at this church. Look at this ministry. I can show you every ministry in this church. I know the background. I know the details of the ministry. The dance ministry. It started with nothing. The Bible studies with Chris Buzniak. It started with nothing. And I could tell you story upon story about the blessings that have been given through the act of servanthood. Look at the music ministry. This morning you see beautiful guitars being played, a grand piano being played, Rufus on the organ, Ben on the drums, singers everywhere with people in reserve, people standing waiting. What can I do? Where can I serve? It never starts there. It starts through an act of humility. What can I do? I'm convinced of one thing when people ask about St. Anthony's and they say, why another church? I'll tell you why another church. I'll tell you exactly why. Because the heart of God is when you serve a neighborhood, when you serve a people, when you serve a region, he brings the blessing to you on a platter and says, here it is. That building was given to this church. Essentially given, handed over. The deed was wrote over to this church for one reason. Because we serve the neighborhood. Whatever you want to own, whatever you want to gain, serve it and you'll have it. I walked through a building not long ago with my father, and there's some sort of business in it. And I said, man, this is a beautiful place. And I told my father after we left, I said, when I walked through that place, I thought to myself, man, wouldn't that be awesome to have? And I felt the Spirit of God say, if you'll serve it, if you'll serve the ministry, I'll give you whatever you serve. If you want to be a leader, you got to be a servant first. If you don't go down right, you can't go upright. When leaders teach to serve within the body of Christ, it's looked on by the members that they're being kept from something. When it's the exact opposite. You're being pointed towards your destiny. You're being pointed toward your purpose. You're being pointed towards your blessing. If you learn to serve, whatever you lay your hand to will be yours. It only looked like David was going to feed his brothers. But in reality, he would feed his children, his children's children, and he would realize his destiny. Serving brings you to a place of divine positioning. Positioning that you can't gain outside of service. The smartest thing, I've watched people for years, they get in the presence of greatness. They get in the presence of anointing. They get in the presence of power. And all of a sudden, they feel as though they need to fake almost this superiority and try to take control of a situation when in actuality, the greatest thing you can do when you get around a great preacher, when you get around a great man of God, when you get around a great ministry, is say, what can I do for your ministry? Here's why. There's people all over this room. They walked in this morning, and if they were honest right now, they'd say, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing in life. I get up in the morning, I shower, I go to work, I eat dinner, I go to bed, and they're frustrated with who they are. And the only reason they're frustrated with who they are is because they've never served a purpose greater than themselves. They've never humbled themselves to the point where they say, it's not about me anymore. It's not about what I want. It's not about what it can offer me. But how can I serve this ministry? How can I serve you, Lord? I don't serve to be seen. I don't serve to please. I don't serve even because I like it all the time. I serve because when I do, I find out who I am. I'm closing with this. Suppose Jesse's conversation with David went well, like the conversations of today. David, go get your brother. Go pick him up a Big Mac and French fries. No, he could do that himself. Do you know how old I am? Do you know how gifted I am? Why should I go do that for him? Why should I do that for her? Why should I serve on the music ministry? Why should I help with the ushering? Conversations we've heard. Sadly, imagine if the conversation between Jesse and David went that way, and David missed the miracle all because his pride kept him from it. We have to get to the point of humility. Everything that David had to offer was never in the sling and the stone. It was never in fighting. It was in the ephah. It was in the humility of, how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I be obedient to what God has? We make a decision at one point or another. We will stay out. We will avoid acts of service. We will say, that's not for me. But the bridge between who you are and who you will become is not in the sling and the stone. It's in the ephah and it's in the grain. Greatness is not determined by how high you can go, but it's determined by how low you can go. When Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he didn't go high. Where did he go? He went low. Paul said he humbled himself. Until we learn, if you don't hear anything else I said, until we learn to humble ourselves, we'll never kill our giants. Until the giant looks at you and says, what am I, a dog, that you'd send this boy to me? Until you're able to be called a boy, until you're able to be called a girl and just say, I know I'm a boy, but I'm going to give you what I got. I'm going to bring you my basket. Even though it's not much, I'm going to bring you my basket. I'm going to do it genuinely. I'm going to serve you genuinely. I don't feel like it. My heart's broke. You offended me. But I'm going to serve you anyhow, because when I serve you, when I help you with who you are, when I serve you, I find out who I am. Hallelujah. Are you willing to be laughed at? Are you willing to be underestimated? Are you willing to be looked at and said, he can't do it, she can't do it? Are you willing to go down? David was willing to go down. Jesus, we're entering into this holy time. Jesus went down. He went low. He gave of himself. He was of no reputation. Scripture says he was of no reputation. He gave of himself. Will you go down so God can take you high? 2 Corinthians says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Through his poverty, we became rich. And it's just a fancy way for saying this. Jesus humbled himself. The ephah is more important than the sling and the stone. Will you go down? Will you give up on you to go up with him? Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask of you that you would birth servanthood in your house. I beg of your Holy Spirit that you would bring us to a place of service like we've never seen. That people will look on and say, how did they do that? And that we'll be able to say, it's through serving, it's through loving, it's through giving. Father, I pray for the person in here who's broken spirit and they've been offended, they've been hurt. I pray for that person. Father, that they submit their heart, their will, their everything to you. I thank you for your people. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the pastors and for the leaders of this church. Father, I pray that you bless them in great measure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on. You're going to be used greatly by God. You're going to get hurt. I'm sorry to tell you that. But God will give you the strength to go on through it. And he'll bless you in spite of it. But he wants to use you in the area of serving. So many good things. So many great things. Last night, I mentioned Thursday night, Dan Huntington spoke and he showed a little clip of the movie Hacksaw Ridge. I've been wanting to watch it. And I made the mistake last night of watching it because it messed me up. But there was a phrase in there, and I wanted to share that phrase this morning. Ryan, why don't you come up? Come up here, honey. If you haven't seen the movie, I'll just give you a little piece of it where he was rescuing the wounded and the hurting, those that were dying and that other people gave up on. And he said he would be at the edge of that cliff. He had to lower him down. You got to watch the movie. It's heart-wrenching. But he said, Lord, give me the strength for one more. One more. I heard that, and I begin to weep. I'm a basket case when it comes to that. My wife, honey, what's wrong now? I go, honey, just I'm messed up. And I sat there and I thought that. And I wanted to come here today and I wanted to say this to you. That if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to ask. I asked the Lord last night, God, give us one more. Because I'm convinced in my heart today could be the greatest day for somebody. You just heard an incredible message of serving, giving. But you will never know the totality of what and who God has called you to until you make him the Lord of your life and give him your life. Some of you maybe have just stuck your toe in the water to see if anything is there for you. And I want you to know, listen to this broken person this morning. My friend Tom Zarowski said, I'm a bad man serving a good God. Jesus wants to come and live inside of you and straighten out all the stuff that maybe you have messed up. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. I want those that help me to pray. I want you to come down. Ryan, I want you to come down, stand in the front here, honey. I want to ask you that today. There's so many things that I want to pray for today before you leave. And if you're here and you're struggling, sick in your body, God wants to help you. God, Sterling, God is helping you. He's ministering to you. Every day you live, He has blessed you with that. Others that are here that have struggled and you've gone through things relating to cancer and different things, heart disease, and that God wants to help, He wants to strengthen you. But what He wants to do most is He wants to come and live inside of you. He wants to begin that today. I want to pray for you. I want every eye closed. I want your heads bowed. I just want this to be a very special, solemn moment in the presence of our God. If you're here today, my friend, sir, ma'am, young person, you've never given your life to Christ. Today, He wants to come in and live inside of you. I don't want anything from you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. But I want you to raise your hand. I want you to, just by raising your hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want you to put your hand up right now. I don't want anybody moving or I don't want anybody looking. Just put, if you give me one more, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see five hands up. God, just one more. Who else? This is going to be the greatest moment of your life. He'll deliver you from the things that the enemy is trying to destroy your life over. He'll give you grace. He'll give you a new life. One more. Is there one more? God, give me one more. Hold those hands up good and high. Yeah. Beautiful. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. 12. This is going to be the great day. Father, everyone pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this is my day. The day that I'm going to give you everything. My past, my present, and my future. I give it all up today. And I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of every sin I've ever committed, and to be the Lord and the Master of my life. Today, I make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, for each and every one that prayed that prayer for the first time today, I pray that even as I'm speaking now, the power of your Holy Spirit to come into their heart and into their life and into their home, into their situation, into their family, change them by your glory and by your grace. Father, those who are here that have stumbled and fallen away from you, I pray that this will be the day that they come running back to you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your servant who has delivered it today. God, I pray blessing and favor over your people today. As they rise up, as they walk in the way, as they lay down, I pray that you would give them great grace and great favor in every area of their lives. For your glory, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen. Come on, you got one more good praise in you. Okay, if you need prayer before you leave, I want you to come down here. If you raise your hand, I told you I didn't want nothing, but I want to give you some. We got a Bible to give you. You need that. You need to come down and say, I just prayed that prayer with the pastor. You need to come down and tell somebody that here. If you need prayer for anything, you come on today. We love you. Go in His grace. You're a great looking bunch, too. I just want to tell you that. I love you. God bless you so much.